want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
The title of this message is The Power of Agreement in Prayer. We pray this is a blessing to your life.
The intention is not to tell people how to pray. You know, the intention is not to tell people what to say when they pray, but that we understand the power of agreement. All right, well, we're going to get on into this message. Again, the title of the message is The Power of Agreement in Prayer. Now, the picture, the reason that picture is up there, just to make it make sense, is based on a quote by Watchman Nee. You guys know who Watchman Nee is, the Chinese pastor who for years, you know, he wrote several books, but preached, and he was persecuted, was sent to prison, he was beaten, all these things for his faith, but he said some very powerful things. Well, one of the things he said is this. He said, our prayers lay the track down which God's power can come. Like a mighty locomotive, his power is irresistible, but it cannot reach us without rails. So that prayer, especially the prayer of agreement, it's the rails that allow the power to come. So Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 through 20 is the text for tonight. And Jesus is talking, and he says, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. By the way, the word ask there, as I mentioned it in another scripture the other day, the word ask there doesn't necessarily mean asking like with a question mark. It means call for. It's a calling it out, okay? And it's important to understand that because nowhere in the scripture do we see the disciples going out and then asking Jesus to do it. You see them going out in the authority that he gave them through the power of the word, and they did it, okay? And so when two come together, according to what he is saying, if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. And it's interesting, Pastor Mike says this. He says, notice he only said two. Because God didn't have enough faith that more than two could actually get together and agree, you know. But two, he says, that's okay, only two, I only need two, okay? And of course, we understand that the Father in heaven is doing it, but he's doing it through us. We are his hands on the earth, right? We are his mouthpiece on the earth. He gets the credit, he gets the glory because he's the one supplying the power, right? And then verse 20 says, where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. There was a pastor who had a parrot, and all that parrot would say is, let's pray, let's pray. And the pastor was pretty proud of how spiritual his parrot seemed to be. And so the deacon's parrot, however, was a little more carnal, and the deacon's parrot would only say, let's kiss, let's kiss. And so the pastor, thinking he could maybe let his parrot teach the deacon's parrot how to act more Christian, decided to invite the deacon and his parrot over to his house. And when the deacon arrived, they put the parrots right next to each other just to see what would happen. And the deacon's parrot started, let's kiss, let's kiss. Pastor's parrot didn't say anything. The deacon's parrot repeated again, let's kiss, let's kiss. The pastor, a little dumbfounded by his parrot's silence, because it was never silent, finally asked the parrot, he said, hey, why aren't you saying, let's pray like you always do? The parrot says, because thank the Lord, my prayers have been answered. So today I want to teach about the power of agreeing or agreement in prayer. Andrew Murray said this. I'll give you a few quotes about prayer. Just some of my favorite quotes about prayer. Andrew Murray said, prayer is not a monologue, but a dialogue. God's voice in response to mine is its most essential part. So I've talked about that before. It's more important that we listen than what we're saying, right? Because if we listen, then we can get the answer, and then we'll know how to pray and know what to pray, know what to come into agreement with. Corrie ten Boom said, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? E.M. Bounds, a man they call the apostle of prayer, he said, what the church needs today is not more or better machinery, not new organizations or more and novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use. Men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men, men of prayer. And of course, we know that's men or women of prayer. So Jesus speaks of the importance of agreement in verse 19 of our passage. So what I want to talk about is this, that agreeing in prayer involves a couple of things. We're going to look at those. Number one is this, agreeing in prayer involves praying in agreement with one another. That is important, vitally important. Now, I will tell you this, if you got nobody around you to come into agreement with you, that's okay. He'll use you as a willing vessel. So don't ever think that God won't use you because you don't have somebody else agreeing with you. But thank God when you have somebody agreeing with you. And so when we come into agreement with one another is one of the most important things that we can know about prayer. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it'll be done for you by my Father in heaven. We were never intended by God to be in this thing alone. That's why he made the church. That's why he built the church. I've often said it, but there are no lone rangers in the kingdom. God designed us to be together. It's his desire that we come together. That's why, again, over the last couple of years, I've said many times that this whole COVID thing, understand it's not just some random disease or virus that, you know, got created in some lab, although that happened, but it is an absolute spiritual attack, and it has one target, and that is the Church of Jesus Christ, to shut the church down. And there are many people, even today, who have never gone back to church. They've gotten content to sit around watching the video, sitting there in pajamas and whatever. And if they even do that anymore. But since that hit, look, we have people in this church who've never come back. Okay. So how many of you know that once you get out of the habit of something, it's real easy. The enemy will give you all kinds of things to take its place. Right. So again, we were never intended by God to be in this thing alone. We are the body of Christ. We are the temple of God. Not me, we. Tell your neighbor, not me, we. So contrary to popular belief, when God said it's not good for man to be alone, it wasn't just because he thought Adam was lonely. I've heard people say that. And it wasn't, and I've heard people say this too, women especially like this one, it wasn't because a man was too stupid to make it without a woman. Although, some evidence does show up for that sometimes, but it wasn't because of that. It's because God knows the power of agreement, and he wants us to act in agreement. So we see a very spiritual picture in marriage. I mean, marriage, this is why the enemy wants to hijack marriage. This is why the enemy wants to pervert marriage. This is why they're trying to literally change the definition of marriage to be between two women or two men or two shims or one shim and a him and, you know, or four or five together. I mean, marriage, they're trying to hijack marriage. Why? Because it is the picture of relationship between us and God. And there is power in agreement. That's why you have to be very careful what you come into agreement with. Very careful. So I remember, you know, years ago, this happened early on when we were in the little facility there, the little church building over there, and a man came in that somehow was acquainted with the ministry, and he came in, and Pastor Cindy didn't have anything wrong with her, but this guy comes in and he thought he was a prophet or whatever, and then he starts speaking stuff. Oh, well, you got this going on, and well, she didn't have any of that going on until he started speaking it. And then all of a sudden, she did. So when she realized what was going on and where that came from, where the root of that was, she refused to be in agreement, and she rebuked it and renounced it. And instantly, the issue left. But it was, again, be very careful what you come into agreement with. You better make sure that it's God that you're coming into agreement with. And so there's this beautiful spiritual picture in marriage as the two become one. And it's unity, it's agreement. And here's the thing. Just like marriage in general, marriage produces life. It was be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, that kind of thing. That's not possible until two come into agreement, right? So whether it's physically or whether it's spiritually, when two come into agreement, life is produced. And so the power of agreement always produces life. If it's agreeing on the right things. And we'll talk a little more about that. So in the spiritual sense, God always wants us producing life. So together, we need to agree to learn how to pray in agreement and do it the way God wants us to do it so that He'll be honored, so that we will get the desired effect, His desired effect on the earth or in the earth as it is in heaven. Amen? All right. So it's interesting to note that the meaning of the word used by the Lord for agree literally means symphonize. Symphonize. It's where we get the word symphony from. So when there is agreement, it's beautiful, and you can tell. Now, I'm not picking on a praise and worship team. It can happen to anybody, but you can tell, or at least I can. But if somebody hits a wrong note, you can instantly tell. Why? Because there's what you call discord. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? So there's a difference in discord and symphony or harmony. But when there is that symphony effect or the harmony effect, it's a beautiful thing. I remember when I was in band, you know, and I know we have some of our young people that have played in band in school and all. And I remember I was played, the first instrument I played was a baritone, and then I moved to the tuba. And you know, I could sit around playing that thing all day, and it wasn't too great. When we would come together, and this kid playing the flute and the saxophone and the clarinet and the trumpet and the French horn and, you know, and all, when they all came together and everybody was playing their part, it would always amaze me. I would think, none of us can do this by ourselves. But when we're doing it together, this sounds pretty good, right? God designed it that way. And so Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and this is the NLT, it says, for we, everybody say we, are God's masterpiece. Not me, we. And he goes on and says, he's created us anew in Christ Jesus. So we can do the good things he planned for us to do. What do we see in there? We see that God never intended for one person to do it all, right? It's we. And I've said this before, but this is why, you know, when people get prayed for in this house, most of the time, probably 98% of the time, it's not me laying hands on them, because it ain't about me. It's about we. And it's us activating the anointing that God has placed in our lives as we come together as the body of Christ, as this temple that he built, and we allow the anointing to flow through us. And as we do that, God moves. I mean, it's awesome. I'm always amazed by it. So as we learn to pray in agreement with each other, we can be led to do the good things that God planned for us to do. And together we can become God's masterpiece, his symphony. You know, just imagine, you know, for someone who understands music, it's God writes all these different parts and pieces out, and by themselves, they just don't sound very good. Remember when I was a teenager, church we had, the sound booth was up in the air and actually in a closed room. And so they had, you would listen through the monitors that were in that room. So it wasn't open like our sound booth. And one of the things that I used to get a kick out of is sometimes when we were up there, when the main sound guy, he was kind of teaching us how to do it. The main sound guy, when he was wanting to hear one particular mic, he'd hit a certain button and he would mute some of the buttons. And though they couldn't hear it out there, in our room where we were, you would only hear that one person singing. And so that person, maybe they were singing an alto part or singing another part. And it would always crack me up because it sounded like they were just singing out of tune. You know what I'm talking about? It sounded like they were tone deaf. But then when you would add the other voices in there, you'd have this blend. You'd have this harmony. And so sometimes you might look at a person next to you. Maybe you even see somebody in this church sometimes, and it looks like they might be a little off. Don't worry about it. If they're in worship to the Lord, it's a symphony in His eyes and ears. Their part might be and sound a little different than your part. But when we put it all together, it's beautiful to Him. And so we can pray in agreement for one another, and we can also pray in agreement together for others. So intercession is most powerful when believers pray in agreement together. So the more of us who learn how to pray together in agreement with the Father's will for ourselves and for others, the more we're going to experience the power and the provision of God. Now, let me just say this. I was thinking about this today. If I have an issue in my life where I just need people to come into agreement with me, I want the anointing to come, you know, I wouldn't want to go anywhere else but right here to get that because I know what's in you. And if I need agreement for me, if I need healing power to flow, if I need, you know, if I need my life to be resurrected, you know, if for some reason I'm dead somewhere, I hope they call you guys over there to come raise me up because I know you can do it. I mean that. I'm not just trying to puff you up. I am so thankful for the anointing that's in your lives. And so I know there's enough anointing in this room right here with just you guys here to do whatever needs to be done. Anytime, anywhere. Amen? So one caution now when we're talking about prayer for agreement, just a little caution I want to throw out there is be very, very careful that you don't allow your prayer, especially your prayer request, to turn into gossip. Be careful. Just always be careful. When you're getting into agreement, be careful about what you're saying, especially if you're saying it about somebody else. Be careful not to divulge personal information about people that they didn't give you permission to divulge. Everybody understand that? You can pray for them in a way, in a general way, that God knows and God understands without bringing embarrassment to them if they knew you said something. Amen? All right. So as powerful as praying in agreement with each other is, there is actually something more important, and I think you know what that is. Number two, praying in agreement with God. Praying in agreement really starts with our learning how to pray in agreement with God. And it does us absolutely no good to pray in agreement with each other if we're not praying in agreement with God. Can somebody say amen? I've said this many times before, but you can pray till you're blue in the face, your will, but if it's not His will, then you're wasting your breath. If it's not within His will, He says, if you ask anything according to His will, He hears it and you have it. So we always want to know that we're praying according to the will of God. And so now that's not a cop out. Be careful about those prayers that just say, well, Lord, whatever your will is, because you're not standing on a word from God when you're praying that way. There's no faith in that at all. Just Lord, whatever your will is, you just do whatever it is that you want to do. And God says, well, what are you talking about? I've shown you in my word, and if you'll seek me in prayer, I'll show you what my will is so that you can stand on that. So it does us, again, no good to pray in agreement with each other if we're not praying in agreement with God. That's why many times on my, you know, when people ask for prayer on Facebook, and I don't have a problem with that. I think, you know, it's a good place to reach out to people. But many times what I'll answer is, well, I'm agreeing with your faith and the Word of God. It may not always be exactly like that, but that's what we want. So Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, Jesus says, again, I tell you. So what is Jesus referring to that he says he had already mentioned? He's referring to verse 18. So in 19, it starts with, again, I tell you. Verse 18 says, I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, this translation and many of the translations, and I know, again, most of you probably know this, but I'm just going to reemphasize it to you. I don't believe it's translated right. When you go to the Young's Literal Translation or you go to the New American Standard Bible, which is known to be more accurately translated, transcribed, it says, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. That's why it's important to find out what the will of God is, because then when you come into agreement with it, you come into agreement with something he's already done. Amen? And that's important, because if you don't know what he's already done, what he's already provided, you can't come into agreement with him. And so then again, it does no good to come into agreement with each other. So the idea is that God has issued some heavenly decrees concerning things that are bound and loosed. And he wants his people to take the initiative to enforce those decrees on the earth. So believers have authority delegated to them by Christ to enforce on earth that which God has already decreed in heaven. And it's by his authority that we are to carry on the work of the church. Now, those terms, the binding and loosing, by the way, I know we see it many times in our mind. We see it as, and I've heard this taught a lot, as, you know, I'm binding that devil, you know, because we're supposed to bind the devil. The picture in our mind is, you know, we're putting a chain around that devil or something. But the truth is, the word bind has to do with agreement. Whatever you bind on earth, whatever you agree on or agree with, according, of course, it's him talking, when you agree with that which has already been decreed in heaven, you're going to see it happen, okay? So in a sense, I know we don't mean it this way, but when I say I bind you, devil, you're really saying I agree with you, devil. Now, I know we don't mean it that way, and God knows the difference, but the truth of the matter is, the deeper meaning of what Jesus was saying is that we're coming into agreement with God. And when we come into agreement with God, then the things that he has made provision for come into manifestation in our lives. Amen? Is that as clear as mud, or is that, y'all got it? Say, I got it if you got it. Okay. So he wants us to take those decrees and enforce them on the earth. So this is significant when you consider how Jesus says that we are to gather together as believers. Verse 20 tells us in this, Matthew 18, 20, says, for where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. So Jesus says that we're to gather in his name, which is a reference to understanding the authority that has been delegated to us. And I I've said this before, but just for the sake of clarification, when we say in Jesus' name, it's not a formula. There are people who've turned in Jesus' name into a formula. And boy, I mean, they'll tell you, if you got baptized and they didn't say exactly in Jesus' name, then that baptism was no good. You're not saved. Too bad. The wrong person baptized you. The problem is that somehow that gives them the power to dictate your salvation, right? So, but what it means in Jesus' name, when I say in Jesus' name, that means in agreement with what Jesus came to bring for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. If it's found in his name, right? And so I can say in Jesus' name all I want, but if it's not found in his name, authorized by his name, again, I'm wasting my breath. So we gather in his name. That's what we do here when we come together. We're gathering in his name. You know, when Columbus came to America, and you know, people dispute this now or say he was a bad guy, some say a good guy, whatever. That's not the point. My point is this, that when he came authorized by Spain. And so when he came here, he claimed it, not for himself, but he claimed it in the name of the king and the queen of Spain, because that's who he represented. And so in doing that, he exercised the authority delegated to him by those that he represented. When you and I stake a claim in the name of Jesus, it's with the understanding that we represent him and he's authorized us to do this. And when you know that, nobody can convince you otherwise. No doubt can come in and steal away what you know God has authorized you to do. So how do we do that? How do we walk in that authorization? Well, by praying in agreement with God. Now, how do we pray in agreement with God? Let me give you just a couple of sub-points here. This is simple. This is nothing real complicated tonight. But first of all, by knowing his word. You come into agreement with God. You pray in agreement with God by knowing his word. If you have no idea what his word says about any matter, you can't come into agreement with him. And any prayer prayed that's not in agreement with the word is not one that God is going to honor. Now, I've said this before. We can pray prayers that disagree with God, and we can even, when that thing comes about, we can even give God the praise and the glory. But if it wasn't something found in his name and in agreement with his word, it wasn't God that did it. Again, I use the example that, you know, the rock musician or the country musician or the rap musician that gets up and they've been singing filthy music and polluting the minds of people, and they get up and they want to thank God. I thank God for how he gave me this success. And, you know, they literally, many of them, and I've heard this, they're going to be back there smoking dope, and they're going to get up and they're going to cuss and they're going to talk about sex and everything else. But they'll gather together and hold hands and pray and ask God's blessing over their concert. Now, that happens. That's not an exaggeration. And then when they get their awards, they stand before people and they give God the glory. Well, as I've said before, God don't want the glory for that. He's not the one that did it. Now, it happened, but why did it happen? Because you pushed it, because you did that. You made that happen. It's not what God wanted for you. Not that. Now, I do believe that God does want us to have success, but he doesn't want us to succeed in something that violates his word. So there's a lot of ignorance of the word out there. So as we grow in our understanding of God's word, we learn more and more about the nature of the victory that Christ has won for us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. And this is the message. We're going to read it the way the message says it. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. The best invitation we ever received. Can somebody say amen? We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you. Your tickets to participation in the life of God after you turn your back on a world corrupted by lust. I love the way the message says that. So everything we need, everything has already been provided for life and godliness, right? All of those things are already provided. And too many believers today have had an initial response to some message that they heard preached, but then they stop there and they have very little knowledge of the Word of God. And you know what? The devil is laughing at them because they'll not be able to pray effectively because they can't pray in agreement with God because they don't know what God's will is. And believe it or not, it is possible that there may be people who show up here on a Sunday morning on a regular basis, and the only word that they ever get is what they hear right here. Do y'all believe that's possible? It's absolutely possible. It happens in churches all across America. And the devil's laughing at them because they're no threat to him. So the key to having your life transformed by the power of God is to make sure that you are informed about the promises of God. The devil doesn't want you to know what God has promised you. He wants you to think that, and I know y'all don't think that here because you get taught different, but he wants you to think that when that sickness comes on you, well, it was God's will for that to happen because, you know, God's trying to teach you something. Now, God may allow some things to happen. He didn't put it on you, but what he wants to teach you is the power that you have through Christ over that thing when he heals you, okay? And so I've heard people say, well, you know, about the one that was born blind and it said, well, this was for the glory of God. Well, yeah, the glory of God was when he was healed, not the fact that he was born blind. All right. So 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 through 15, lets us know about the key to having our life transformed by the power of God to make sure that we are informed about the promises of God. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. I love that because notice what he says, you have eternal life. Again, I've taught this before. This isn't new, but eternal life doesn't start when we get to heaven. Eternal life, everything that is available to us in heaven is available to us the moment we get saved. God's not holding anything back. Like, well, I'll sprinkle a little of this out and a little of that out until you get to heaven. Eternal life started the moment you were saved. And if we can really get a hold of that, really get a revelation of that, that means that everything available that we will walk in heaven is available right here and right now, right? And so most people don't get that. Most people who sit in churches don't get that. They don't understand that. They think that there's some places where the Bible just kind of exaggerates. God kind of exaggerates a little bit. You know, it couldn't possibly be real. Couldn't possibly be true. And because they think that, it's not possible for them. So he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have currently, right now, eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God because we have eternal life. We live in it. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. And this is a legal setting that this is describing. It's a hearing. He gives it a hearing. That means that if we pray anything according to his will, it's not that he says no, it's that he doesn't even hear it, right? I've said that before. I've heard people say, well, you know, sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no, and sometimes God says not yet. Well, I agree. Sometimes God says yes. The promises of God are yes and amen. And sometimes it's not that God's saying not yet, it's that our own faith is saying not yet. But God never says no, never. He never says no to anything that he's promised us that we seek from him. And he never says no to something that we pray for that we didn't seek for him. Why do I say he never says no? Because he never even heard it. It's not that he says no. People get offended. Well, I asked God to do this and do that. Well, he never even heard your prayer because you weren't praying in accordance with his will. He never gave it a hearing. Just like the Supreme Court, there are certain things they're not going to give it a hearing. So it's the same way. God doesn't say no. God only says yes. And our faith says yes, but I'm not quite there yet, right? But God never says no. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but that helped me out to know that God never tells me no. But what it did also is it let me know I better be praying according to his will. I better take the time to find out what his will is, because if not, I'm wasting my breath. He doesn't even hear me. So through the word, we are informed about what authority is ours, what promises is ours to exercise in prayer. All right, We also need to pray not just in agreement with God by knowing His Word, but secondly, the second subpoint is by being inspired by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit, everybody say in the Spirit, on all occasions. Now notice what it says, with all kinds of prayers and requests. So we, in us Pentecostal circles, or charismatic circles, or whatever you want to call it, we only think of praying in the Spirit as praying in tongues. Now, that is true. But what this is really saying is, with all kinds of prayers, it ought to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's always going to know the will of God. The Holy Spirit's always going to pray the will of God. So He's saying, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. In other words, when I'm praying with the understanding, it still better be led by the Spirit, or else I'm just trying to push my will on God. And when I do that, by the way, guess who's on the throne in the moment? It's me, at least in my own mind. I'm not really, but I think I am. And I'm trying to tell God what to do. How stupid is that? So this is praying at the level of interacting with God as we're being inspired by His Spirit, allowing the Spirit to guide us in applying the promises of Scripture to any given situation. And as the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, leads us to exercise the authority that the Word says is ours, we will experience what I would call tactical victories. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, therefore, He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him, because He always, everybody say, He always lives to intercede for them. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for. You know, how many of you know that's not just saying, well, today, this moment, I'm a little confused and I don't know what to pray for. No, we never know what to pray for in the natural. We never, because there's things happening in the spirit realm we don't even see if we're not in tune with the spirit realm, if we're not in tune with the Holy Spirit. So we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans and that words cannot express. The King James Version says groanings which cannot be uttered. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So I believe that scripture is actually talking about when we're praying in a way that our own minds can't comprehend. Whether it's praying in the Spirit with tongues, or sometimes, I believe it specifically says groans which cannot be uttered. There are times when all you can do is groan. How many of you know God hears the groans? God, even if a person can't get it to come out of their mouth, he hears the groans. There's something about last words. You never hear about anybody's last words anymore, because they keep them doped up for a week or two, trying to keep them comfortable so they can't speak, can't communicate. You don't have last words anymore. I mean, how did this happen years ago? I just think we ought to really rethink things. So the scripture says He's able to save completely those who come to Him through Him, because He always lives to intercede for them. I believe in a case like hers, the Lord's interceding for her. But I also believe that as those groans are going forth, whether her brain can comprehend or work it or not, God hears the groans of the Spirit. And so it may not be a word, and it may not be another language that, like praying in tongues, sometimes it's just a groan. And I believe it's just as important. If the Spirit's leading that groan, it's just as powerful as anything else that we could say. Charles H. Spurgeon said, groanings which cannot be uttered are often prayers which cannot be refused. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 and 15 says, Paul's talking, he says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I'm going to do both. I'll pray with my spirit, but also I'll pray with my mind, but I'm going to allow my mind to be led by the Spirit. Okay. We know that through the context of all the things that he was saying. So intercession is offering up requests to God on behalf of another who would make the same request of God if they had enough sense to ask. I'm going to say that one more time. Intercession is offering up requests to God on behalf of another who would make the same request of God if they had enough sense to ask. Unfortunately, some people just literally don't have any idea what to ask God because they don't know his word. They don't know his will. They don't have a relationship with him. And God does use people like you and me who know his will to speak on their behalf. And it's called intercession. That's why Jesus is the great intercessor. So there's no term we used to use called standing in the gap. Standing in the gap. So this is what the Son and the Spirit do for us with the Father. They pray things for us that are consistent with the will of the Father who desires to bless us, things which we don't have enough sense to ask for. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I taught about it the other day about the fact that Jesus is the intercessor. I talked a little more about that. How wonderful it is. I mean, knowing that when he was on this earth, he actually prayed for us, but he still prays for us, forever praying for us. But it's not just him. And the scripture says, if two or more agree, well, it's not just Jesus, but according to the scripture, the Holy Spirit's also praying for us. That's two right there. That's a pretty good dynamic duo right there, praying on our behalf. So here's where true growth and the discipline of prayer comes in. When I come into agreement with the Holy Spirit and offering up to the Father the petitions that he is praying on my behalf, my prayers become effective. They become effective for myself, for my family, for my friends, for my neighbors, for my church, for my community, for my world. And so there are billions of lost people who will never come to salvation unless someone prays for them. Charles Spurgeon again said, if sinners be condemned to hell, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. If they perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees. Let no one go there unwarned and unprayed for. God has given that responsibility to us. You know, that's praying in a way that's not only informed by the scripture, but also inspired by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to wrap this up. Let me share this illustration with you. During Super Bowl 37, which was quite a while back, FedEx ran a commercial that spoofed the movie Castaway. How many of you ever saw the movie Castaway? So they spoofed this movie in which Tom Hanks played a FedEx worker whose company plane went down and it stranded him on a desert island for years. And looking like the weather-worn Tom Hanks in the movie, this FedEx employee in this commercial goes up to the door of a suburban home, because you remember at the end of the movie, he shows up with the package to the home that it was addressed to. And so in this commercial, this FedEx guy looking like Tom Hanks goes up to this home with the package in the hand, and the lady comes to the door and he explains that he had just survived 5 years on a deserted island. And during that whole time, he kept this package in order to be able to deliver it to her. And she looks at him and she says, oh, well, thank you. But he's curious about it. He just had to ask. He said he was curious about what was actually in that package that he'd been protecting for her for all those years. And he said, if I may ask, what was in that package after all? And so she opens it up and she shows him what's in the package. She goes, oh, nothing really. Just a satellite telephone, a global positioning device, a compass, a water purifier, and a bunch of seeds. And just like the man in that commercial, there are way too many Christians today who don't realize all that has been provided for them so that they can live in real victory. Amen. And have what God calls success on this earth. Samuel Chadwick said this. One concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil. He mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. And I will add to that, when we pray in agreement with each other while agreeing with God. That's what makes the devil tremble. Amen.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.